Here we are in hour number two on a Wednesday, and returning to our lineup this week is our great friend and county councilwoman, Marty Hawk. Marty, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm having quite a time. I have two puppy dogs in the house. One is visiting, and I'm trying to get them to both go downstairs so that
it's live radio, Marty. We're used to it. If they start barking like crazy, we'll just take your time and I'll turn it down for a moment. But we're it's just good to have you back. I know you had a tough week last week. We send our condolences to your family as well. But we're happy to have you back. And nothing like a couple puppy dogs to raise the spirits.
Right, and when my daughter comes for a visit, and I'm grateful for her presence, and she brings her little puppy dog, which I love, and they both love playing together, but somehow or the other, now I have one upstairs and one downstairs, so I'll try to concentrate, because we have a lot to talk about today.
Well, let me get my pen and paper ready, and it is a busy time of year, and we know everything with the jail project going on. We've seen in the news recently about some bridge closing and work. We're going to have some things changed up and some things closed around. Budget time is around the corner. I'm ready when you are. I've got my seatbelt on, and I'm ready for the ride on Wednesday.
Well, you know, the most important thing that I saw today, well, one of the most, is having to do with the annexation ruling by the judge yesterday.
Good, I missed that, so that's good. Tell me what I missed.
Okay, the annexation lawsuit had to do with the constitutional claims having to do with the waivers. And Judge Nykerk ruled against Bloomington on their claim for constitutional problem. However, that does not mean that it is just over for the other areas as well, because there were other things that they had in there that the lawsuit was about, having to do with whether or not our auditor had counted the numbers correctly or whatever. So it's really not over until it's over. But the city did respond this morning saying that they, you know, while they regretted the decision, they would take some time to determine whether or not they wanted to file something against the decision. It sounded to me like there's so much on my plate, I'm not sure I'm remembering it all exactly, right? But, for the county, representing the county council, that was good news for us, because if that annexation did go through, that changed our revenue for so much, and a lot of which is how we counted to what we needed to pay for the jail. And, you know, we've been looking hard at what it is that we need to be doing about that. So that is a part of it. And we'll talk about the jail here in a second. But the other thing that we'll be looking hard at is what we're going to do about the new FLSA rules, which says by July 1, all of your employees who are exempt employees, that means they get paid a salary and they don't count for overtime or whatever, that they have to make a certain amount of money by July 1, and then by the end of the year, another boost up in salary, and then another boost up in 3 years. And we only heard about this like a week and a half ago, or about a week ago, something. So I contacted Department of Local Government Finance and the State Board of Accounts saying, you know, are we going to get some kind of training or heads up or whatever having to do with these rules so that not all 92 counties will be going to get expert opinions here, there, and yon. We could all learn the same thing. Now, I had watched the video presentation of it having to do with FLSA, but that didn't come from the state. And I also looked at the written presentation, but I still had a lot of rules because, you know, county government works a lot different than, because this is for businesses, this is for anyone. And it says exactly how much money people have to make. So it was are we talking about the chief deputies? Do we count them as exempt or whatever? So I had a lot of questions, but their response, they finally sent a response this morning. Evidently, they're not off today, and said that since they were not even aware of it, the different departments that I called at the state, until I told them about it. So this must all be like catching everybody unawares. But they said that because they would not be overseeing the implementation of all these changes, that they would not be offering any guidance on how to do it. So this is difficult. Now, I know that this weekend the county councils are having their meeting throughout the state. They're going to be meeting to discuss many of things, but I'm wondering if they might also be discussing this. But we're talking about this could make a gigantic change in how much revenue we're going to have to make payroll. Part of which is we could decide to take people off of being exempt status and put them over into a regular 40-hour status and pay them overtime. But then that means how many can we afford of the entire county employees to go to 40 hours instead of 35 hours. So that's a huge budget change, and I notice that the city seems to be addressing it by changing their
pay grids. Yeah.
Grids. Right. Yeah. And they said at the end of the day that might be millions more, and you can see that. Now, in the past, FLSA had determined they were going to do something similar, and then before it was like when the rubber met the road, they didn't keep in place all of it. So they could still change a part of that ruling, and or they could change all three, or they could change none. But you can't just wait and hope that nothing happens. We have to figure out something in order to get the budgets put together. So because I know that the city is looking at this as well, and they tied it to the compression of the different salaries coming together, because what if you put people over who were supervising another group of people, and then those people were really making more than the supervisor? It just is a nasty mess before it's over with. So that is a part of it, and you might wonder, people listening might wonder why I care. Well, the fiscal, I'm a member of the fiscal body. That's what the county council
does. You gotta find the money to pay for all this.
You absolutely have. So we have to figure out where that money is going to come from, and guess who it will come from?
The taxpayer. The taxpayer.
From you. So it will be very important that we use every dollar. As always, we should look at every dollar that comes in to make sure that we're stretching it as far as it can go. And so that's what we'll be looking at, especially coming up as of tomorrow. We'll be discussing the American Recovery Act, that special funding for that, to see how those dollars could be moved around. One of the things I had suggested and called the state to see if we would be allowed to use those dollars coming in that is not a part of your local tax dollars to address that problem at the jail. If you notice, what was it, a week ago when it hit the news that a couple of the inmates had gotten out of their cell and attacked another inmate.
Yes.
And I know people say, well, what are you talking about? It? The county might get sued. Well, that was already in the paper, so
yes.
I'm not telling you something new. And so if those locks need to be addressed and repaired or replaced, I called the state, could we use these ARPA dollars to do that rather than local dollars? And the answer was yes, you could, as long as you used a certain type of like the revenue loss dollars. So whether or not the county council will want to do that or the county commissioners, but the option is there, and it is our obligation to do something, it seems to me, because while I know people are planning and trying to work out what they're going to do about the new jail, you cannot leave what is in place and not take care of it. Just whatever. I mean, you have to make sure that you're doing all you can.
This is like standard upkeep. This isn't like putting a new roof on it or putting in a new plumbing system. It doesn't sound like. Is this an expensive project?
I've been told it's rather expensive, but I had contacted the people at the Sheriff's Department, and they are working on some numbers and so forth, and so I don't know when we're going to be presented, but I had made sure, because I'm one of the liaisons there, to say to them, let us know what we can do to assist. And
the other part of the ARPA money, you can only use it for certain things, correct? Because it doesn't last forever. It's a finite amount of money, as I understand it. So you can't put that into salaries or benefits moving forward, because at some point it ends.
Right, and that's the reason why you could do it by doing a contract to replace all those. It seems to me you could. I don't want to play lawyer here.
Right.
But it seems to me you could do it by contract to get all of those locks repaired.
That makes
or
sense. Right.
But
you can't use it for salaries, can you? You can't use it in salaried employees.
If it was like a temporary
bonus?
I know we used part of it, or was that the CARES Act? To retain employees during COVID. That might have been part of the CARES.
All right. Well, that's why we keep
talking about that.
Well, it's easy to get confused. If I didn't have you on every Wednesday, I'd have absolutely no idea. Marty Hawk is our guest, the county councilwoman. Then the county council's job is to navigate the tax revenues and make sure everything gets paid for, and that's it. That's the money. The money is importante.
Yeah, now that's tomorrow. Thursday, that we're going to be meeting on the ARPA stuff. Then on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning, the Long-Term Finance Committee, which I'm a member of as well, will be going over issues, different long-term finance issues, but the main thing on the agenda was for the jail financing options. And so that will happen on Friday. And then Tuesday, I get a message from the commissioner's office and said, we have to capitalize half, H-A-V-E, very large word. We have to have this meeting at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, executive session, before the regular county council meeting, because in order to discuss the jail site and other information that has now come to light. But they don't tell SWAT, of course. We get to just go into the meeting and find out. I don't know. But anyway, that's at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, and that's a private, because when you're discussing purchasing property, that you don't do that in public until you receive the information or whatever, but then you take that public before you make a decision. Now, the reason why I find this important, and also to recognize that a regular county council meeting is at 5 o'clock, and that's also on the agenda for a discussion of this, is to take us back to the last county council meeting, for which I was not in attendance. As you know, it was not a good time for our family. But at any rate, I did watch the meeting I had it replayed back to watch it, and I saw there was a major disagreement between the county council and the fact that they were trying to get information from the architect. They wanted information, and they were told they couldn't have the information, or there must have been some kind of miscommunication, but there was very much displeasure coming from the county council. As a matter of fact, the motion went on the floor to deappropriate the money from this bond issue, a certain part of it, in order, I think, probably to insist that people come to the table with information. Now, and then we get information from the county attorney saying, well, you know, this might have tax implications for the people invested in the bonds, et cetera. So I think that there will be some rethinking of that. I guess we'll find out. But there ought to be ways to be able to get the information that you want to come before the public at a public meeting, and that's what the county council had asked for and didn't get. And so they had a unanimous vote. Of course, there were only four people at that county council meeting, but they did have a unanimous vote to consider the appropriations of the funds, which is really not something that I've heard of doing, having to do with the bond issuance, because you do have to, for instance, one of the things I was hearing at that meeting from what they were saying is it didn't appear to me that some of the county council understood. They thought that the county commissioners were in charge of site selection. But that indeed, and I had the county attorney send out the information to the entire county council, that the legislation reads that, and I don't have it in front of me to say verbatim, but the county council, if the property is worth more than $1,000, the county council is required to have an ordinance with that states the terms and conditions of the purchase of the property.
So that means you can't act independently, is basically what it comes down to.
Neither can the county.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's checks and balances in all its glory.
Right, and that's why I think part of the discussion here and the concern was at that public meeting over at the Oldsville station. There was a comment from a county commissioner that it was up to the county council to decide the number of beds. Well, for the jail, and we were all going, what? When was that established? It should not just be the county council's decision, although the finances of it would be. But we have to hear from everyone involved to come up with what is a reasonable number. Now, some people may not want to have a very big jail. Others want to have more beds available so that people have opportunities for programming and so forth. But whatever reason, we need to listen to the sheriff's department and the, you know, the judges, the commissioners, county, you know, the people at large that are paying for this. But I think it's one of those hot potatoes nobody wants to, you know, catch the porcupine and hold on to it. And somebody's going to have to do that at some point in time. Now, my concern is if we're jumping ahead of saying how many beds we want or whatever else or what, how many acres we're buying or where the site's going to be or services we're going to provide, we need to have a budget. And so have at least some idea of where these dollars are going to come from. We know it's going to come from the public, and what it's going to, in general, cost an individual making X number of dollars. And that's what I hope that we will come together on.
Why is this so hard? Why is it so hard? Is it because here's the thing that drives me crazy, and I hear it all the time. We don't have enough law enforcement. It's not safe. It's not, okay, well, we're going to raise your taxes $500. Whoa, wait a second. Whoa, wait a minute. Well, maybe it's safe enough. Well, you can't have it both ways. So how do we?
No.
We have to, if it's $50 million, here's what it costs. If it's $75 million, here's what it costs. If it's $150 million, here's, why is that so difficult to show the public that information?
Well, I mean, hopefully we're coming up with it.
I hope so.
From the beginning, when the city put in this extra income tax, and we're sitting there on the dollars coming in from that income tax, that extra amount, and many of us on the county council said, there's the where we're going to get the money to pay back the bond to build this facility. And, of course, we have to have the money to operate it. Well, there is that community corrections tax that we only put in at 0.01%, but we're allowed to put it in up to 0.2%. nobody wants to have to charge additional income tax. However, if we are going to have a facility where people feel like that, if you have been aggrieved, if someone has done something that is a criminal act toward you and your family or whatever, there will be law enforcement there to support the citizens. And if you have a criminal then that comes before and stays within the jail system, that they are treated in a humane situation, that they are in a place that is gives them the constitutional right to be safe, even if they're incarcerated. So there's a lot of things coming together. And the county council, they're not experts at this. Why should we be? This is not, this
sure.
is not what we always do. And so for anyone who's running around thinking, well, just because you're on the county council, you ought to know all these things, no, that's not the case. But we should be able to look at what the legislation tells us, how we can go about financing it. And then, of course, the big sticky wicket right now is, where is it going to be located? So many of us think it needs to be near the services, because it makes very little sense to have it someplace where, remember, I asked them to put together the document for me to say how many were released over a 12-month period, and that was over 3,000. And so if you have 3,000 over a year's time walking out the doors as they are being released to go home or wherever it is they wish to go, and if they're released, you can't tell them where they have to go. You can't tell them, well, get on a bus, we're going to take you X, Y, Z. That's, I don't think that's how it works. You know, they can't tell you to get on a bus. And if the person's been released, I don't know when. However, maybe that can all be worked out. I'm just saying that as right now, there's no transportation that is on the books right there for them. They're saying, well, we'll get, at one point, on the county commissioner said, well, we'll get Ubers to take them where they want to go. Another suggestion was, we'll have a park and ride system. The other, the public can come and park their cars at this, parking lot and share rides into Bloomington. And maybe that'll work. I don't know.
How about high-speed rail? How about in a helicopter? How about a, we'll just throw them all out there. And that's the other problem with this, is people think that, well, there's just this endless pit of money. We can do all these things, and there's not. There's not at all.
There is not. And one of the reasons we had some people concerned about the Fullerton Pike property, even though that's in the city of Bloomington, the Fullerton Pike property that we'd already determined that the dollar amount that would, we'd all signed off on that, the seller had, the county had, and the city planning said no. Now, and so why then, because we have different people on board at the city level than was there at the time, why not go back and see if we can't readdress that?
Has Mayor Thompson said that that's out of the question? I've missed that if it's the case.
I have not seen that, and that's the reason why I'm asking.
Gotcha.
And why I had asked, have we tried to go back and say, can we work together on this? Because as you might know, the records show, at any rate, that the majority of the people who are incarcerated are from Bloomington. And so that would make you think that then their family, their friends, their support system is in the city of Bloomington and not in the town of Ellisville, which is the direction they're talking about bringing the facility. And with no transportation to get to, all of the services that many of us folks count on. And at the same time, we had a lot of people, a lot of businesses downtown who did not want to have the jail and court systems move from downtown, and that's the reason why, one of the reasons it never moved forward on the Thompson property, because the businesses said, don't do this.
Well, the Fullerton Pike property isn't exactly close to downtown, if we're going to talk about how the crow flies, but it's closer than the Ellisville part of that. That is true.
Right. It would be. And it's also, at some point in time, one would think that Bloomington Transit would feel obligated to cover Bloomington. Maybe there's some kind of a deal in the works for them.
Well first, you have to get the new administration on board to take a look at that property again. Wouldn't that be the first step to all of this?
That would be, I would love it if they would do that. I don't know why we wouldn't. I mean, we've got a willing seller who we already agreed on the price.
Well, that's Bill C. Brown, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'd already had the offer to purchase. Everybody agreed to it. The council and the commissioners all agreed to it, and then the city said no.
Okay, now we've got new city people, as you mentioned. So who takes this to the city and says, hey, remember this? Do you have a different opinion on it? Who leads this charge, Marty?
Well, I'm hoping that the county commissioners and the county council will instruct the legal department to contact the city or however it should happen to say, could we reinstitute this request and see where it goes. It
wouldn't hurt. All they can say is no. I mean, it would be an interesting discussion to have moving forward as to why not, or we did know about this. We were just waiting for someone to ask us. That's
right. And I don't know. Maybe the new information has come to light, according to county commissioners. They want to talk with us at 4 o'clock on Tuesday.
Maybe they have
the appraisal back on the property out here, that we call Criderville, out in North Park. Or maybe they have back that second environmental inspection that gives us some pause. Or maybe they say it's all clear. I don't know.
Well, the good news is we'll know next Wednesday.
If they want to meet with us on Tuesday, they ought to give us some information in advance.
I would agree on that, but you know that's not always how it comes to fruition.
No, I do know that. That's for sure.
That is.
I mean,
got to be on your toes. Got to be on your toes. You got to be on your toes like your daughter that does all that dancing. You got to be on your toes. Got to be just like that.
She does enjoy dancing. Right now she is down there trying to organize all the things that I continue to buy from that wonderful Monroe County History Center garage sale that we did enjoy going and seeing so many friends and enjoying their company. And it's a great summer event, and the money saved to help out our history center. It's just a joyful time, and I am happy to have my daughter home. And I'm not so happy to be spending the time studying and going to so many meetings. But you know what? That is a part of life. Will go on, not whether she's here or not. So that's
well,
what we
Well, next
will
Wednesday
do.
We will be busy, because after your Tuesday meeting, you'll have to tell us about all the great things that have gone on. So get down there, start help organizing, and.
Right, she's even building a shelf.
that's good. And I know you've had a lot of fun with her. So go enjoy that time, and then come back and bug me next week.
I will do that. And thank you for listening. I appreciate
always. Marty, without you, a lot of people wouldn't know what's going on in the county, and that's why we have this conversation every Wednesday. Thank you so much.
Thank you.